Welcome to the Breakfast Leadership Show, where we explore the realities of leadership, decision-making, and building organizations that perform under pressure. Your host, Michael D. Levitt, is the creator of the Breakfast Leadership Operating System, a framework designed to help organizations improve decision clarity, strengthen leadership alignment, and reduce the execution friction that slows teams down. Each episode features conversations with leaders and experts navigating the challenges of leading in today's complex world.
Welcome Let's get back. Started. I've got Jeff Curtis on the line. Jeff, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Michael. How are you?
Doing really, really well. Looking forward to this conversation. So why don't you share a little bit about yourself and then we'll jump in.
I'm Jeff Curtis, spent about 30 years in the biotech and pharmaceutical communications industry, both on the agency and corporate side. And after an acquisition of my company in my latest role where I was chief communications officer, I exited and now finding my new path, wherever that takes me. Obviously, we're discussing the fact that I wrote a book called Embracing Your Own Purgatory, but I'm just figuring out my way and seeing what may be next for me.
It's something that we're seeing a lot of people in, you know, either from, you know, exits because of sale of business or people that are considering or doing that R word called retire. Some people hate that word. I'm one of those. Like, I can't see myself retire. I can see myself doing something different. But like I said earlier today, I'm going to use this thing up until it's done. And I'm not going to stop until it because I'm having too much fun. But yeah, it's one of those things where I think a lot of people, they don't think about it. And then they find themselves in the midst of it, whether, you know, they could, you know, have a successful exit from a business and have, you know, don't have to worry about the financial situation.
Right.
You know, it's like big blue sky, big blue ocean. And you go, okay, but I'm out here on the water. Now what? And it's an interesting, surreal feeling for many because they've never experienced this, just having all of this time to do whatever they want instead of the kind of the structure or the to-dos or the meetings or the deliverables or, okay, what are our KPIs? Our KPI is, okay, what am I going to make for lunch today? You know, it's like,
right.
So it's, you know, you find yourself into that. So walk us through what that experience has been like. And, you know, I love the title of the book because for a lot of people, it probably feels that way, even though they dreamed about it and they're finally there. And all of a sudden they go, ooh, wait a minute. I don't like daytime television. This is not good at all. So I'd love your thoughts on that.
Yeah, absolutely. And a couple of things I want to address too, is that you brought up the R word, retirement. And I've been having conversations with people, even how we identify ourselves and how we introduce ourselves in conversations. I had lunch with a former colleague who said, I don't even want to tell people what I'm really doing. So it's just easier for me to say I'm consulting because they can relate to that. And they know that that's probably what I'm supposed to do. So even how we label and identify ourselves is a struggle when you're kind of in these in-between places. But back to your question about what it's like, it's uncomfortable. It's just uncomfortable. It's not failure. It's not reinvention. It's uncomfortable. And I think just going down the path to understand who you truly are without your career and where you're heading, I think that's where the uncomfortableness comes in. And interestingly enough, I use the word purgatory on purpose because I haven't yet transitioned or reinvented myself. And I wanted people to understand that being in that waiting period and kind of that I don't know phase is okay, as long as you're being productive by your own measure and finding those new metrics and those new KPIs, it's okay to be in that I don't know space and a little bit disoriented if you're not transformed yet or transitioning yet. And again, why I wrote the book kind of while I was still in it and am still in it is because I don't know that all of the self-help books and transformation books are applicable to everyone. And so I wanted to have at least a space where people could be in that I don't know, and it's okay to not know.
Well, the thing I love about it is you're currently in it. Because a lot of times when people write books, it's post-mortem. It's like, okay, I was in this, now I'm doing this, and I'm doing work for whomever, and this is what I experienced. Well, you wrote the book while you are in the middle of it. It's like it's a living, breathing, this is what's going on right now kind of
right.
thing, which is it is unique, quite frankly, for a book. I mean, if it's a YouTube series, or you're on TikTok or whatever, and it's an ongoing thing, okay, that's one thing. But, you know, an actual physical book and you're turning the pages or you're reading it on your Kindle, it's like, wait, this is actually still going on. This is a story that is still being written.
Right.
And I think that is what's so unique about this. And quite frankly, I think is really cool because, again, people come along in the journey and they go, oh, wait, okay. And then they're like, all right, now what? So I'm curious, if people reached out to you that have read the book, I'm guessing you probably get bombarded with, okay,
yeah,
well, you could do this, or what about this, or hey, you should do this. You know, they start doing all that stuff, and you're like, and you probably, ran through that, over the time that you've been in this arena, where, I've thought about this, thought about that, it's not sitting right, maybe I'll do that, but not yet, kind of thing. But I'm guessing that people have come up and said, okay, what's it like, or what? What are you thinking? And to your point, you mentioned this a moment ago, and I want to make sure we didn't gloss over this, is it's okay if you don't know.
Right.
And I think for leaders, that is a really vulnerable spot, because throughout, as a leader, quote unquote, you're supposed to know. And when I was leading organizations, if I didn't know, I would say, I don't know yet, but we're going to figure it out. And I was comfortable with saying that because I knew that we would, whatever it would be. But some people, they're not comfortable with that. It doesn't sit well with them because they've conditioned themselves for so long. I have to be the answer to everything. And
well, yeah. And we've been so performative. We've been so performative over our careers, to your point, that we felt like we've had to either show externally that we've figured it out, or that we're okay, or that we're moving on as expected, because we're so used to that external validation, people expecting something from us. And so, again, I think it's a formula absent book, because I want for people to have permission, not a plan. And people who are still recovering don't have to perform as if they've already recovered. And I want people to realize, again, that they have absolute permission to do that, because I truly think kind of the in progress piece of it, where I am, is 100% more useful than some packaged comeback story or reinvention story that I would have out there on LinkedIn or any place else or at a cocktail party telling people. And the feedback that I'm getting from people is, I think they're a little bit thrown off by the fact that I'm okay sitting in it and being uncomfortable in sitting in it and trying to figure it out, but also a little bit relieved, because Michael, they start sharing a lot of different things. And a lot of feedback I'm getting is coming from men, and men who I've known for 15 years, who I didn't know their whole story. And it's always the same intro. I don't know if you knew this about me, but, and then it's story, story, story of things that they've gone through. And I'm not saying I'm the reason that they're doing it, but I'm hopeful that at a minimum, I'm a catalyst so that people have that permission to feel that they can be vulnerable and transparent. And finally, understand that it's more important to be expert of yourself, an expert of yourself versus just the expected expert in the room. We're always expected to be that expert in the room, but we're never experts of ourselves.
Yeah, I find that a lot in the work that I do with burnout recovery and some therapy and workplace cultures. How many people, not just leaders, but leaders of every walk of life, literally have no clue who they are.
Right.
And it's like, you've been around for 50 something years and you don't know who you are. It's because you've been so outwardly focused, you forgot how to look in, or you don't want to look in. It's okay. It's not as bad as you think, or maybe it's worse than you think. It's okay. But guess what? You're here now. And, you get comfortable with being uncomfortable. And I think, again, going back to a lot of the leadership expectations or training or whatever, we have this thing that we have an issue, we have to resolve it. It's like whack-a-mole. And okay, we have to deal with this right now. And there are some things that you just aren't able to figure out right now. And that's okay. Is it disrupting things? Maybe. Is it causing, if you're working somewhere, is it going to cause impact for your team or deliverables to your customers if you don't act on this right now? If the answer is yes, then okay, address right. accordingly. If it's no, and often it is no, we still have that tendency to like, got to rush to a decision. We have to, you know, we're not certain about this, but let's rush and get something done. And I think that robs us all of opportunities to go, look, let's sit with this a little bit. And maybe it'll come a little clearer if we actually let this kind of develop and flush itself out. It's like, I'll use this analogy. Like, oh, I feel like a little pain in my shoulder or something like that. And it just happened, you know, maybe 30 seconds ago. Okay. Am I going to run to the medicine cabinet and take some pain medication? Or am I just going to say, I'm going to let this be for a bit and see if it prolongs? It might just be, you know, part of your body going, hello, you're still alive. Congratulations. And go from there. But I think a lot of times we go to this instant, we don't like this feeling, we have to fix it. And again, we got to get comfortable with being uncomfortable. So I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, well, I think we get so in tune to replicating without reflecting. And it's the analogy I'll use is that, okay, if you've had an exit from a company or if you've moved companies and you want to capture the same magic, you hire the same people, but you don't know, thinking that that's going to happen, the same thing is going to happen again. And that's what you expect. And you don't reflect on what may have been bad, what may have been inefficient, all of those things along the way. And you could end up making the same mistakes or you could not. And so for me, being uncomfortable in this space is doing that reflection piece and figuring out what patterns did I have along the way? What led me to this point? Why did I always fill the voids and feel the need to be busy? Was it just high achievement drive? Was it other things? Was I emotionally avoiding certain things? And I think part of that, back to your earlier point, there's fear there. There's fear there in finding out exactly what could be there. And if we don't do that, we're going to continue to replicate patterns over time. And the one piece of pushback that I'll say I'm getting is that people say, hey, you're young. You can get another job. Why didn't you have another job? You were successful. Why don't you just go out there and do the same thing? Well, that, to what you just said, would rob me of understanding myself and why I did what I was doing for the last 30 years. And avoiding certain things or filling those voids and repeating same patterns. And I don't want to do that anymore because there's something better on the other side. I was scared at first. I'm getting less and less scared about what I may find, but I'm willing to find it. And even if it is uncomfortable, I have to kind of sit in the space for longer than I probably intended to, instead of continuing to replicate without that reflection.
There's that, you know, immediacy, or okay, I got to get this done. Or a challenge even that I had early on in my career was, you know, I had, you know, some pretty rapid career growth. It was during the dot-com era, happened to be in IT. And if you could spell IT, you were making a decent amount of money. He's a CIO of a company he used to work for. He was a curmudgeon. Such a curmudgeon. And he said, these people can't even spell IT. He was talking about his tech support team. And I'm like, okay. And I just let that set for a minute. Like, oh, that's funny. That is funny. So, but, you know, I had, you know, some success and, you know, rapid growth and would bounce around companies because there was so much demand and there was a lot of money getting thrown around from VC money and everything else.
Right.
And then reality entered the room, and then that went away. And I'm like, well, you know, let's go back to counting beans, because I originally was an accountant. So it's like, let's go back to accounting this. So, you know, maybe we can avoid that, you know, balloon popping again. But what I found was you know, those dopamine hits of success, of finding new jobs and all of that stuff. All of a sudden that went away and it was, oh, wait a minute. It doesn't work that way. No, not really. You just happen to capture something, and we're kind of seeing it right now with the AI play as well. Seeing, I'm looking at this going, I've watched this movie before. Okay, when's this one going to pop? It's like,
right.
Will it be the energy costs that do it? Or will it just be running out of money? Something's going to happen, and we'll see an adjustment like we always do whenever there's anything that takes off. Eventually, it normalizes and it finds its space, much like our careers and what we do. But I think, again, there's a danger about being too successful too early, I think. And I know a lot of people go, what do you mean by that? It's like, how can that be a problem? So I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Yeah, I mean, it's an interesting question because it was an interesting time in my life. So it's when I exited, I was in my late 40s. And again, I think that because I'm getting that question of, you could have had another job, I think people did feel that I was too young to just stop or take this time. But back to what we were talking about earlier, if we haven't done the work and we think that that's the missing link in leadership of not really understanding yourself and understanding who you are, why not take the time to do that work while you still can and be productive about it? So I'm happy that I had success early in my career so that I can now figure out where those new dopamine hits are going to be. And I don't have to wait until I'm 65 to find that out when I really probably wouldn't care anymore and may just be sitting on a beach and going playing golf or doing whatever. And not that there's anything bad about that, but this has been a fun exploratory period so far. And I'm glad that I'm kind of in this space at an earlier point in my life to really understand directionally what the next 10 to 15 years are going to look like. And I'm glad I was able to kind of step out of that place again at a younger age to do that. Because I don't, dopamine wouldn't matter anymore in your 60 to 75 year. I mean, it may not just in the way that we perceive it or the way that we're talking about it now. And now it's been a fun ride, Michael, to kind of find out where I'm getting those dopamine hits and seeing where those really deep valleys are of still depression that I get every now and then, because I'm basing my current frame of success on past metrics. And when you start to do that, yeah, that clouds kind of, okay, now you know the path where you're going is a little bit clouded because you need to redefine that stuff. So again, I know it's a long-winded answer, but I don't think it can be a bad thing to have success too early if you're really willing to sit down and do the work that you need to do on yourself to get to that next phase.
Yeah, really look into it and research it and it gets you a better understanding of who you are. And when you mentioned, about, being young, it reminded me, I used to run some primary care clinics and I had a couple doctors, relatively new grads, they were in their practice for about 3 years after getting all their certificates and could practice medicine and all of that. Married couple, worked at the practice, was building it up, had a good roster of patients and all of that. And then they came in one day and they said, we're going to sell our practice and we're going to take a year off and we're going to go backpack Europe. And all the other doctors at the clinic that were, obviously well into their careers were looking at them going, you're retiring now? You've only done this for, 3 or 4 years. Like, you're just starting. Why are you stopping now? It's like, this is foolish. And they explained to me and to them, I completely understood where they were coming from. The other doctors did not. But they said, look, everybody does this thing. They work forever. And it's like, okay, then they retire. And then they're, okay, now we're going to go travel and do all this stuff. We have no idea what our bodies are going to be like when we're in our 60s. We have no clue.
Right.
In our 30s, we're athletic. We can move. We have the energy. And we think we've got to train. But we feel that we can do some backpacking across Europe and take a year away. And, the patients will find other doctors. That's not a problem. We're going to let them know and work out arrangements so we're not leaving them, out to dry. But this is what we want to do. And they were confident because they knew when they decided to come back, or maybe they would practice in Europe. Doctors are needed all over the planet, so job security is not too big of a concern for them. But you know, they ended up taking 18 months. They went even longer because they were just like, yeah, ready to go, and they gave themselves their permission to do that. And I think, and I haven't been in touch with them, but my hunch, just knowing them, is they came back and, you know, launched new practice again and started seeing patients again. My hunch is they're better doctors. And I'm not saying because of, you know, understanding, you know, clinically speaking, I think just from a human standpoint, I think they are better people because of, not that they were bad people before, but I think they improved and would be better clinicians because of how they went about that.
Yeah, and that's what I was just going to say. I could almost 100% guarantee you that if I decided to step back into another senior role, I would be a better leader. I would be a better leader for my team. I'd be a better colleague. I just would be better because this journey, again, has helped me understand myself a little bit more. And the fact that I've taken time to do that, I'm very confident that I would step into a similar role and be better than I was before, which, why wouldn't you want that? And just as the world needs doctors, the world needs better leaders. And I, to me, it's a win-win for people to take the time to do what they need to do to just get to that point of being better.
Yeah, and I think, and I'm sure, you know, the people come to you as well that are in leadership roles, and you know, they kind of role play for a minute and they think, okay, what if I was in your shoes? And like many, that title is how they identify. And you mentioned it earlier. You know, it's like, well, I'm a consultant, because they're like, I don't know what to say I am.
Right.
And I am Mike. I'm Michigan. You know,
it's true.
Like, that's who I am. And I say, yeah, I used to do accounting. I used to do IT. Run healthcare. Now I run breakfast leadership, and I do consulting and, you know, a variety of different things because I like doing a bunch of different things.
You have a portfolio. You have a portfolio career.
Yeah. Is that who I am? No.
No.
You know, my dog is not going to say who I am. I don't want to use the, you know, the letter E explicit to say what my dog probably thinks I am, but, you know, that's another story for another day. He's not abused. He's loved. There's witnesses. He's loved. He's good. But I think a lot of leaders, either after they retire or even in transition between opportunities, they have that identity hit. It's like, well, I'm no longer the CEO. What am I? Yeah. And again, that goes back to what you said before about not knowing who we are. So how should people self-leader themselves, so they don't have to be anchored so much in the title and become more of who they are? And we've already kind of talked about it a bit, but in wrapping this up, I'm curious to your thoughts on that, on how people can kind of get past that title as being their identifier and become what that title is as part of their whole existence. I'd love to hear your thoughts on that.
Well, and I think part of it first, Michael, is that self-reflection piece and really understanding if you are, in fact, your title. I mean, and if you are coming and saying, I am my title, I hate to say it, but that's the first step of recovery. It really is. I mean, if you know and can identify that you are your title and there's nothing else that's actually driving you, then I think it's doing the work. And I mean, people are coming to me now and talking and just about the title aspect of it. And I'm nothing without my job. And this was really a shock to the system. It's, I'm trying to guide them and lead them to, okay, where do you need to start to do the work to understand who you really are, and to not be scared of doing that work. And again, if this is a regular self-help book and I was fully transformed, I probably have a framework for them, but I don't. And so to me, this is the fun piece of it, is that just getting them to admit, one, that they're in this space, two, that they need to understand why they're in this space and kind of where it got off the rails, and three, remove the fear of what they're going to see when they do start to sit down and do the work, regardless of what kind of time they have, and whether that's through therapy, coaching, talking to me, reading my book, whatever it may be. I think it's just part of it is sitting down, to do the work piece of it. Again, I'm trying to get people to think that the discomfort thing isn't a problem that needs a quick solution like a crisis at a company. It's, we're talking about ourselves here. And so it's, you really kind of have to understand how you've coped, how you've done things throughout your entire career in order to kind of start to, air quote, recover to get to that, that place that you need to be. And again, as I wrote in the book, I'm at a place where maybe good is enough for right now. Not excellent, not, you know, exceeding expectations. Maybe good is enough for right now. And if people can get to that point and be okay and without having that title and see what it's, and look and reflect and see what it's done to them, then I think there's, that's the starting point where people need to go.
It's a lot easier to pivot when you're moving instead of just, you know, set and still, you know, but getting comfortable with being uncomfortable, I think, is the theme of our chat today. So love this conversation. Where can people find out more about you, reach out, find the book, everything else?
Yeah, books available where all books are sold. So Barnes & Noble, Amazon, available in ebook, paperback, and hardcover. Best way to find me is on LinkedIn, Jeffrey Curtis. And I respond to any and all DMs. And if people would like to email me, jeffcurtis1@gmail.com.
Awesome. Definitely have that in the show notes. So Jeff, thank you for being you and for, you know, writing the book and sharing your time today. Really appreciate it. Thanks so much for your time.
Appreciate you, Michael. Thank you for having me on.
Thanks for listening to the Breakfast Leadership Show. If today's conversation resonated with you, we invite you to explore the Breakfast Leadership Operating System, a structured approach that increases decision velocity, clarifies accountability, and stabilizes execution across leadership teams. Leaders can learn more and schedule an executive diagnostic by visiting breakfastleadership.com. Until next time, keep leading with clarity.